Daniel chapter 37, 1 through 14. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Egypt. I'm sorry, the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. The Lord, in His grace and His mercy, has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, and He's united you to His Son, Jesus Christ. And in Christ, all the promises of God find their yes and amen. So know that God has promised you His forgiveness, the victory of His Son, and the glory and empowerment of His Holy Spirit. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond in joyful song unto the Lord. We come before Almighty God in the heavenly places with our hearts open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. We submit ourselves humbly to the Word that we might be shaped and changed by God's Spirit to be more like our Savior and Christ. So let us hear and respond in faith that we may perfectly love God and magnify His glorious name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's will for life this morning is taken from Galatians 5, verses 1 through 26. This is the word of our Lord. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for the agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual morality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to Him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing upon the reading and proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? In you, O Lord, we have taken refuge. Let us never be put to shame. Rescue us and deliver us in your righteousness. Turn your ear to us and save us. Be our rock of refuge to whom we can always go. Give the command to save us, for you are our rock and our fortress. Deliver us, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been our hope, O Sovereign Lord, our confidence since our youth. From birth we have relied on you. You brought us forth from our mother's wombs. We will ever praise you. We have become like a portent to many, but you are our strong refuge. Our mouths are filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast us away when we are old. Do not forsake us when our strength is gone. For our enemies speak against us. Those who wait to kill us conspire together. They say, God has forsaken them. Pursue them and seize them, for no one will rescue them. Be not far from us, O God. Come quickly, O our God, to help us. May our accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm us be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for us, we will always have hope. We always praise you more and more. Our mouths will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though we know not its measure. We will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. We will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since our youth, O God, you have taught us, and to this day we declare your marvelous deeds. Even when we are old and gray, do not forsake us, O God, till we declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You have done many great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made us see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore our lives again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring us up. You increase our honor and comfort us once again. We will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O God. We will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. Our lips will shout for joy when we sing praise to you, we whom you have redeemed. Our tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm us have been put to shame and confusion. Now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear from God's Word, let us... Sermon text this morning is taken from Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to chapter 6, verse 9. Ephesians 5, 15 to 6, verse 9. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great prophet from Minnesota, yes, Bob Dylan, wrote in his hit 1979 song, Gotta Serve Somebody. The chorus goes as follows. You're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. From the beginning in creation to redemption, every human being made in the image of God has had to serve somebody. We were created to serve the triune God. In the fall, Adam and Eve chose to serve themselves. Subsequently, the human race became enslaved to sin and service to the devil. We worship and serve somebody. As God's new human race, we are in submission to Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. We no longer live according to the flesh. The new life by which we live is by the Spirit. When we struggle against sin and temptation, we battle our weakness of the flesh. But when we walk in holiness and faithfulness to Almighty God, we live by the Spirit. Walking and living by the Spirit is both a blessing from God and a reality. It's inescapable in the body of Christ. It is an instant change and gift from God that He's promised us in our baptism, the Holy Spirit. But as we experience it, it is a gradual growth that we no longer struggle against the weakness of our own flesh. Even the Apostle Paul describes his struggle with the temptation to sin in Romans 7. His famous words, "I am of the flesh. What I am doing, I do not understand. I am doing the very thing that I hate." As we heard last Lord's Day, the Spirit's work in creation was to push away darkness. And He also does this among God's people. Push away darkness. He does this in our lives. When the Apostle Paul exhorted the church to be filled with the Spirit, one desired effect is that the Spirit would drive out, would push out the darkness out of our lives. So, brothers and sisters, I exhort you this day, be filled with the Spirit. Do that which is of the Spirit. Do not give in to the weakness, the sinful desires of the flesh. This is not the way of Christ. You did not come to learn Christ this way. Hear the words from Galatians 5 that you heard earlier of the deeds of the flesh. Sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife is of the flesh. Hamlin Reformed Church, strife is of the flesh. Covetousness, outbursts of anger, dispute, dissensions is of the flesh. Factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. That's of the flesh. That's not of the Spirit. This is not part of the new humanity, the redeemed in Jesus Christ. If we do such things, we are rejecting our union with Christ. We are not walking in faithfulness. Jesus didn't live like this. And He doesn't live like that now in us. Not only that, but the Spirit testifies again and again that those who do live like that, who do live according to the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live by the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, these are real warnings that we at Hamlin Reformed Church ought to take heed. God's people are to reject fleshly impulses and sinful desires. Paul wrote this warning to the church, not to unbelievers. He said this to the church, lest no one think he's immune from judgment. Reject the flesh. The alternative to fleshly living, our natural impulse, is spiritual living. That's the new life. Living by the Spirit is the contrast to the flesh. Here, the fruit of the Spirit. Boys and girls, you can say it with me. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit that Jesus produces in us when we deny the flesh, we live by the Spirit, we submit to Christ's lordship, and the Spirit pushes out the darkness of sin. Let's stop there and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Can I see your eyes on me, guys? Good job. Can I see your eyes? Good job. Eyes? Well done. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
All right. There was a commandment here, boys and girls, in Ephesians 6:1. Who could raise their hand and tell me, what is Ephesians 6:1? Commandment for you guys. Evan? Very good. You forgot one little part, which, oddly enough, is what I want to talk about up here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. As you think about that, what does that mean, in the Lord? Don't raise your hand. Don't pour it out. Just think about it. In the Lord. Earlier, the Holy Spirit says, wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Sounds a lot alike, doesn't it? How about this? Slaves, obey your earthly masters as you would obey Christ. That's just like it, isn't it? Christ is Lord. Hold your answer. Think about that. In the Lord. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story and then we'll come back to that. Who can raise your hand and tell me what's special about today, this Sunday? I told you at the first part of the service. Starts with an R, big capital R. Dean?
Reformation Sunday.
Now, who can raise their hand and guess who was the big guy in the Reformation? Last name starts with an L. Yeah?
God.
That's the right answer. You're absolutely right. God. God was the big character in the Reformation. You're right. But who was that weak human being who God used? Dean?
Martin Luther.
Raise your hand if you've heard of Martin Luther. Some of you have? Okay. Hands down. Martin Luther worked for the church. And the church was doing some things that he didn't think were right. Hold it. They were doing some things that he didn't think were right. And you know how he knew they weren't right? He checked his Bible. He says, what we're doing isn't right according to the Bible. And the people who were above Luther, who were in charge, says, Luther, you have to obey us. Can anyone raise their hand and guess what Luther said? Caleb? Nah? That's the abbreviated version. Evan?
I have to serve God rather than men.
That's right. That's right. Basically, Luther said, I obey God rather than men. Can I see your eyes up here? Luther said, if you tell me to do something that is okay with God's word, I'll do it. I'll do it faithfully. But if you tell me to do something that's not right according to Scripture. Thumbs up, Luther said I'd do it. Thumbs down, Luther said I won't do it. If you tell me to do something the Bible says no, will Luther do it? Or will Luther not do it? Let me see. Thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down, no. If your thumb is down, you're right. It's no. Luther said, tell me to do anything and I'll do it. But if God's word says no, What was it, Caleb? Nah, I'm not going to do it. Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Who can raise their hand and give me in your own words what that means? In the Lord. Dean. Follow God in His example. Evan, you want to build on that?
How you worship God.
How you worship God. Okay, let me ask you this. If mom and dad say, clean up your room, thumbs up yes, thumbs down no, will you do it? Clean up your room, thumbs up yes. Let me ask you a different way. Is it the right thing to do? Thumbs up yes, thumbs down no. Because I know some of us are a little weak on cleaning our rooms. You should do it, right? You should do it. What if mom and dad say, go to the store and steal a candy bar? Thumbs up yes, thumbs down no. Should we do it? No, that's not in the Lord. So when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it means we don't obey anybody who tells us to sin. That includes your pastor, your elders, your teachers, your parents or grandparents. We don't sin. Okay? It's the same thing for everybody. We obey in the Lord, but we do not sin. Okay? Will you pray with me? Fold hands. Close your eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us in your image and saving us in your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to obey our parents in the Lord and to do what's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you get back to your seats. As I mentioned before the children's message, if we are filled with the Spirit, we will produce fruit of the Spirit. Paul exhorted the Ephesian Christians to be filled with God's Spirit. And he gave us ways to do this. One way we can do this is to sing God's Word. Be filled with the Spirit. Make a melody in your heart, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Another way is giving thanks. Giving thanks is being filled with the Spirit. And lastly, this whole section, one way we are filled with the Spirit is submitting. Now, submission requires authority. One cannot submit if there's no one to whom we can submit. So to submit to someone requires some kind of authority. Now, everyone, as mentioned earlier, has to submit to someone. Everyone has to serve somebody. All human beings owe submission to God. Sadly, we are born in Adam's sin of rebellion, where he rejected God's authority and chose his own authority. Adam didn't want to serve somebody. He wanted to serve himself. Now, we are sinfully inclined, we are weakened in the flesh, to reject authority and refuse submission. I'll say that again. We are sinfully inclined to reject authority and refuse submission. This is first Adam stuff. This is weakness of the flesh stuff. We don't want to submit. We don't want to obey. We want to be our own God. Our word carries authority. We make all our decisions by our word, not God's word. And in our weakness of the flesh, the temptation is also to lead and to rule by the flesh. Leaders who rule as ogres or tyrants are not being led by the Spirit. They are leading wickedly. Also, leaders who rule with wet noodles for backbones and cave at the smallest whiff of conflict are leading by the flesh too. There are two ditches on either side of the road. We ought to steer clear of both of them. The Apostle Paul wrote that we are to live and to be filled with the Spirit, even in our authority relationships. Those in positions of a leadership and headship lead by the Spirit. Those under headship submit by the Spirit. Both leaders and those under authority are in submission to Jesus Christ. All in authority and all in submission are in submission to Christ, following by the Spirit as part of the new humanity. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will joyfully and faithfully submit to God's design for your relationships. If you lead, lead sacrificially, faithfully, joyfully, lovingly, leading as Christ leads by the Spirit. And those who don't lead sacrificially, faithfully, joyfully, lovingly, submit to those whom God put over you. Brothers and sisters, if you reject the Spirit, leaders, you will lead as an ogre or as a wimp. Both are of the flesh. You will cower in the face of opposition like Adam when he stood by as the serpent tempted his wife. If you reject the Spirit, you will also reject submission. You will make the same arguments against submission that the world makes. That's for another time. We live in a different time today. You can't expect people to submit today. So the choice is clear for us. Live by the flesh or live by the Spirit. Follow the ways of our first father Adam. Reject authority. Try to be your own God. Live by the flesh. That's one choice. Or submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in all areas of your lives. Leaders, lead sacrificially and boldly and courageously for your people and for Almighty God. Those not in authority, submit to your leaders. Submit and obey in Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen.